My brothers and sisters, what makes one a good shepherd? Our Lord says, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for my sheep. In the history of the Catholic Church, we can think of a plethora of examples. Perhaps primarily someone like St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney is the one who, right after he was ordained, he's going off to his first assignment, and he's given the little backwater town, and the words of the bishop are the last words that any priest would ever want to hear about the parish that he's going to. He says, there is little love of God in that church. You will be the one to bring it there. And as St. John Vianney is traveling to his first assignment, this is the prayer he makes to our Heavenly Father. Lord, grant me the conversion of my parish. I am willing to suffer whatever you wish for my entire life. Could you imagine if every Catholic priest in every parish in the world prayed that prayer regularly? Lord, I am willing to suffer whatever you wish for my entire life, that my parishioners might be saved. We would set the world on fire. St. John Vianney was the one who, one time, one of his brother priests came to him. As priests, you're always looking for, what more can I do in my parish? And if you see something good happening in another church, you want to find out what is taking place there. So a brother priest comes to him. How is it that people are flocking to you for confession? Right? I can't get anybody in my church to go to confession. St. John Vianney says, I will tell you my recipe. I give sinners small penances, and I do the rest in their place. Now, I'm not going to be doing any of your penances anytime soon, but hopefully one day we'll get there. He was the one who, he would have diabolical attacks in the middle of the night. And at first he was terrified, Lord, why is this happening to me? And then he started to see every time this would take place, the next day someone who had been away from confession for many years would return. And he realized, oh my gosh, God is giving me the opportunity to merit grace so that that person could come back to the church. Or you can think of someone like St. Philip Neri. Father Philip lived in the 16th century. He would try to help men get off the street. And one of the ways to do this was to get them back to church, get them back in a state of grace. And these men who would still flounder because there was such an attachment to sin, they'd say, Father, you know, what do we do if we can't get to confession on Saturday? You know, so we can't receive the Eucharist on Sunday. So he would leave the key to his house under the mat of his front door. And he'd say, come to me anytime, day or night, and I will hear your confession. Father Philip was the one who oftentimes he would be with his fellow his confreres, the people in his community, kneeling in the church in prayer. And they would have a set time every day. You know, they'd spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And oftentimes, people would come in and they would interrupt him. You know, Father Philip, can I talk to you for just a minute? You know, I'd like to go to confession. Will you pray for someone? And his fellow brothers, they started to get annoyed with this. But even more so, they said to Father Philip, you know, don't you think that's wrong? Here you are in front of our Lord, spending time with him, and they take you away from Jesus. And he said, my brothers, I leave Jesus for Jesus. Right, to see our Lord Jesus Christ in his people. One of my favorites. There's a man who was recently beatified, Archbishop Luis Martinez. He lived in Mexico. He was the Archbishop of Mexico early last century. On the day of his installation mass, there are thousands and thousands of people, and they've erected this stage upon which so people could see the altar, and he gets up to preach, and he was a very gifted preacher. And he gets up to preach probably one of the greatest homilies he would have ever delivered. And as soon as he stands up and starts, part of the stage collapses. All these priests are sitting up there, fall over. It ruins the entire homily. And so he says, okay, I guess Jesus didn't want me to say much of anything. But I limit myself to this. I can make you only one promise in becoming your archbishop. I promise I will give my life for you. One of his good priest friends one time said about him, "He is one of the most excellent priests I've ever met. He has only one defect. He doesn't know how to say no to anything." And when Luis Martinez heard that, in his proverbial good humor, he said, "It is true. And the sad thing is, I have no intention of correcting that defect." My brothers and sisters, why would these men be willing to lay down their lives for their people? Because they were convinced in the depths of their soul about what Peter said in the first reading today. Peter, the first shepherd of the church. "There is no salvation through anyone else other than Jesus Christ. Nor is there any name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Do you believe that? Those are not my... Actually, I want to clarify something. There's a little rumor, at least among some Christians, that I believe, or that I preach, or that I've said, that the only people who can go to heaven are active, visible, baptized Catholics. I never said it. I don't believe that. The church does not teach it. Do we believe that someone of another religion can go to heaven? Do we believe that? We believe that. Do we believe that someone of no religion can go to heaven? We believe that God works in every soul in a mysterious way. He pours out His grace. He longs for the salvation of everyone. But if a person is saved, who is not Catholic, who is not Christian, how are they saved? There's only one Savior. There's only one person who can take away the sins of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there goodness? I'm probably preaching too loud. Is there goodness in every religion? Absolutely. Is there truth in every faith? Most definitely. But the fullness of goodness, the fullness of truth, is found in the Catholic Church. It's our Lord's church. Our Lord, the Savior of the world. And yes, can He save people indirectly who are not members of the church? Sure, He can do whatever He wants to do. But how great it would be if they knew Him not only in the life to come, but here and now. How He longs to lavish His graces upon everyone, that they might share in His death and resurrection while on earth. Okay, so we want to bring everyone to Jesus, right? Is that sufficient? Do we want to just leave them there? Believe in Jesus and everything's fine. I had a very devout Christian man, a man of tremendous faith. One time I sat down with him, and he quoted these words from the gospel today. He says, "Father, you know, I've been to your church, I've heard you preach. It seems to me that you want everybody to be Catholic. Right? Well, Father, what does it matter, really? I mean, if a person's Baptist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian, our Lord said, 'I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold.'" He really said that He has other sheep who do not belong to this fold. But as soon as this guy said that, I'm thinking, yeah, but what's the next line? He says, "These also I must lead. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd." Yes, I'm speaking to people outside my church, but I long to bring them in, that I might be the shepherd of their souls. And the reason this guy said this to me, I sat down with him and his fiance. Okay, so he's not Catholic, and she is, or was. And what happens if a couple wants to get married in the Catholic Church when one is not Catholic? The Catholic has to receive a dispensation to marry a non-Catholic. And why is this so? Because if a Catholic is unwilling to say, Even though I'm marrying someone who is not Catholic, I still intend to live my faith. And I will do everything I can that my children be raised in this faith. If the Catholic is not willing to say that, the bishop will say, well then, if you get married, you're going to be leaving the church. And so I cannot bless that marriage. And so I present this to this young lady. You know, can you just sign here saying, yeah, I'll be Catholic and I'll try to raise my kids. I'll do everything I can to bring them up in the church. She says, oh, yeah, sure, Father. So she's about to sign away and the guy goes, whoa, I don't agree to that. We never discussed that. And he looks at me. And he was not disrespectful. But he says, Father, this is what drives me crazy about the Catholic Church. You know, you just want to get everybody you can in there. And I said, no. I said, it's more than that. We believe that we have the fullness of the faith, of the seven sacraments, every grace God wants to give to the world. And so if a Catholic's going to leave the church, we can't bless that marriage. He says, Father, really, between you and me, can we just have an honest conversation? He says, essentially everything's the same. So whether we raise our kids Catholic or in another Christian church, he says, we believe the same things. The rest, any differences, it's just all semantics. And I said, semantics? I said, what do you mean by that? I said, give me an example. He said, okay, Father, like Holy Communion. He says, Father, in my church, when we have a service and we have Holy Communion, we believe that Jesus is somehow made present through that bread and that wine. And he says, and you in the Catholic Church, you believe that Jesus is in the bread and the wine, right? It's something like that. He said, Father, come on, what's the difference? Whether Jesus is somehow present or he's actually in there? And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, after you go to your church and you have a service with the bread that is left over, would you ever spend all your night on your knees lovingly adoring that piece of bread? He says, but no, that'd be silly. I said, if someone broke into your church and they tried to steal one of those pieces of bread, would you give your life before allowing them to? Oh no, Father, why would I do that? I said, a Catholic would. I said, it's not just semantics. We don't believe Jesus somehow becomes present, and we don't even believe that he's in the bread and wine. We believe that when we celebrate Mass, the bread and wine become Jesus Christ, that God is there on our altar. I said, and if you believe that, your entire life would change. My brothers and sisters, do we realize what we have as Catholics? Do we believe that there is no salvation through anyone else? And if so, when was the last time you invited a non-Catholic to become Catholic? If Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, do we want everyone to know him? And if his desire is that there be one flock, of which he will be the one shepherd, are we seeking to bring our brother Christians back into the fold?